Well, good morning out there in Radio Land. What a day it is to serve our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It's a good day to be alive. It's a good day to be in the kingdom of our Lord. And it's a good day to go tell somebody your testimony, the testimony of Jesus, and just how good he is, my friend. It is October the 10th, 2024. We are gearing up our BCA. Chili cook-off is right around the corner. We'd love to see you there. Starts at 5 o'clock, and that's whenever the chili comes in. Maybe you're a chili maker. Maybe you know how to make that chili and you want to get involved and you want to see how good your chili is. It's a free submission for the chili, so it's free submission. And then of course dinner will start at 5. You need to have your chili in no later than I had to get that confirmed. I think it's like 3:30. And so, Greg, do you like chili?
I don't want nothing to do with chili. I don't like to be chili. I don't like to eat chili. I don't want to go to chili. I don't want nothing to do with chili.
You don't want to go to chili?
I don't want anything.
I don't
to
think
do with
chili is that chili.
Well, I'm just saying. If it's chili, I don't want nothing to do with it.
All right, well, Greg just ruined my steam here. But no, October the 26th is the date for that. So make plans. Come on out and be with us and support Bethel Christian Academy. It's going to be a really fun night. We got fun games for the kids. We'll have a silent auction and a live auction for those in attendance. And then, of course, the chili. And if you maybe want to submit your chili, please get in touch with me or my wife. And we'll start getting people signed up with chili, 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 chili. And that's coming right up here. Whether Greg wants it or not, we're doing it in Jesus' name.
Oh, yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, but
I did like chili day when I was in school because I had peanut butter sandwiches.
Didn't want the chili. You just liked the peanut butter sandwiches.
Yeah. Sorry about that. Go ahead.
Oh, you're fun.
What about chili weather?
Nothing. I don't want to be chili. I don't want to eat chili. I don't want to go to chili.
He's not going to chili.
I don't want nothing to do.
Anything with the word chili, you're out.
Yep. Well, Clarkson, let's see here. Evangelism Crusade. We got this announcement to make. Evangelism Crusade. Experience freedom from our strong codes as God works in our hearts and minds. All are welcome as Reverend Lee Thomas. That is October the 14th through the 18th at 6 o'clock p.m. at Clarkson Baptist with many churches from other counties going to be representative there. More information, you can call Brother Billy Carter, 270-287-2410. And then we also have a bluegrass concert coming up here at Memorial Chapel Church of God, Honeysuckle Ridge. Friday, October the 25th, 2024 at 6 o'clock p.m. located at 2043 Church of God Row, Custer, Kentucky, formerly known as, I think it was Custer Church of God. Now it's Memorial Chapel Church of God. For more information, you can call 270-536-3357. Amen. And had a great time last night at the Bible study. It was a better turnout than I expected. We usually have very few on fall break. Everybody's traveling and everybody's out and about, but had a great time last night together. It was good together as the body of Christ again. For me, it's been like a week, so I've missed it tremendously. Brother Greg, did y'all have service last night?
No, everybody's on fall break, and we everything is off this week.
Break time.
Yep.
Well, we didn't have youth, so we had some breaks yesterday, but we went ahead and had the regular service, so we can get it on the radio, too. But we wouldn't be able to have youth anyways. The room is still drying out, so I think all the fans are still running over there. We're going to run those for a day. But praise God, I don't think anything's damaged. I think we got the water up, and Miss Betty was hustling with that broom, and me and Brother Tim was going as fast as we could with shop backs. But we got it up quick enough. I don't think anything got damaged enough. We praise God that we had tile and wood. It would have been a much different story. But it was a blessing that it looks like apparently no damage is going to be done after our flood yesterday. So praise God for that. And then any other announcements that I'm missing here? Oh, there is one new announcement. There's one new announcement that I started last night, and I'll announce it now, and we'll announce it sporadically with more consistency as it gets closer. You can go ahead and mark your calendars December 11th and 12th. You can go ahead and mark those. We finally confirmed the dates that could work. Bishop Lance Johnson is going to be back with us here at Bethel Fellowship for two nights. Again, that's December 11th and 12th. Brother Lance will be back with us for two nights here at Bethel Fellowship. So, again, you can go ahead and mark your calendar. We won't announce it every single morning this early, but I do want to get that word out to you that we've got those dates confirmed finally. And we've been trying this for several months now. It didn't work out for our schedule or it didn't work out for his schedule. And so we're finally going to be able to do it again. And so that's December 11th and 12th. Amen. Greg, you got any announcements?
No. I'm actually sitting here reading Romans 6. I was in my La-La land there. Well, I don't guess that's in La-La land, but I was in a whole different area. Sorry.
Skipping ahead.
Yeah. I got to ask you, because my reception hasn't been great this week where I've been inspecting, so I've got to listen some, but how was the cruise?
It was, for me, it was awesome to spend time with the family and Hannah and Ethan.
Yeah.
I love the food.
Did you actually get to eat the food? Like every time I went up there, I was always at the back of the line and it was like very crowded. So my experience wasn't the best on my cruise that I went.
Oh no, we never had a problem getting food.
Yeah. So, I mean, I could get food, but whatever was left, you know, and
how many different buffet lines did y'all have?
Well, I just had one great big one.
Oh, no. Yeah, on Royal Caribbean, there was like...
Oh, you got Royal Caribbean.
There was
okay.
like Never mind. Eight different places you can get
food.
They're
pretty prepared with their food.
Yeah. So
they're good about that.
Okay. But I will say that, you know, if Heather and the kids want to go on another one, I would.
Yeah.
But if it's my preference and I get to choose, I probably wouldn't.
Well, I will go again on a different one, like one y'all went on. I'd have to try.
Well,
I don't think the one that I went well, I'll just leave it there.
Well, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
We are talking about going on another one in a couple years.
Yeah.
But it will be with a different line. And we've already figured it out. But but it's not the one you went on either. It's another one. We probably will. I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed, like, disconnecting for a week.
Yeah.
And just kind of really.
Now, was y'all on the water during any of the storms or whatever? Like, I can't remember.
No, they kind of.
Somebody that I'm related to.
There were storms brewing around us.
Well, they had to stay 2 days out on the sea to let that go by, whoever it was.
But no, we were kind of in between storms.
We went at the pretty much perfect time, but I do believe people's prayers worked because there's a lot of stuff brewing while we were out there.
I enjoyed the shows besides one, and me and Heather left that one. But
I do remember you hearing that.
We left that one. We couldn't convictionally we couldn't stay for that one, but we enjoyed the time together.
Well, that's good.
But for me, it was just about family and getting to be with them. And the food was amazing. Yeah. I love bacon, and they have bacon in their gravy.
Yeah, so I heard that they specially went to another floor to get you bacon.
They did.
Now that's service right there.
Now, we are probably the most enjoyable time on the whole boat was dinner, just because our servers were so good.
Yeah.
They were really good.
Yeah, now that I'll say on ours, we had excellent servers. I have no complaints there as far as the staff and all that goes on our boat that we went. That was good. There's just so many on mine. It was so crowded. I felt like it was just like herding cattle. You know, we just got in line and we followed the line. You know, that's all we did. And we, you know, it was just so packed on there, you know. So
ours wasn't, there's a lot of people, but you never felt that. There was pretty well distributed, but, But honestly, I would probably have a differing opinion on our staff. I think our servers and my room attendant was well, but I would say 60% of the staff was just really rude.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I just didn't. Yeah,
no, I didn't have any of that with men.
Like, they weren't, like, always yelling and mad, but they were not helpful. Like, and half of them I couldn't. Like,
they probably didn't know what you
half
saying.
Half of them I only think spoke English. And so it was like, trying to be in Puerto Rico again, using hand signals about what I want to do. So, but it was fun. It was a lot
of
fun.
What about you, Hannah?
We have a great time. I never had any bad experiences with staff or anything. Yeah. And we're kind of used to cruising too. I've been on two before with this same cruise.
Oh, so you're
line.
A professional.
So, I mean, I'm not a professional. Ethan would be a professional, but we kind of know what we like, what we don't like.
Yeah.
I mean, there's always hit or miss things, but I loved this ship that we went on. It was my favorite ship that we've been on, just the way it's laid out and things that they had, the way the pool was laid out.
Oh, good.
And everything. Good deal. Yeah, I had a great time.
All right. That's all the questions I got.
I had fun with the family.
Yeah. That's good.
All right. What verse did you finish on yesterday, Hannah?
4. I tried not to go very far because we were recapping, so stayed on 3 for a long time.
All right, verse 5 here in Romans chapter 6.
Well, you can start. I didn't really get into 4.
Oh, okay. Verse 4 of Romans chapter 5. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too walk in the newness of life. So Paul here is discussing we were buried with him into baptism. By baptism into death, basically saying that the old man has died, that we are buried with him. The old man is going to be buried in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too may walk in newness of life. You will not walk in newness of life if the old man is not buried. You will try to walk as a zombie that's trying to have newness of life, but you're going to literally be dressed up in your old clothes. What's the first thing they did for Lazarus when he got up out of the tomb?
Loose him. Set him free.
Don't take those grave clothes with you.
Yeah.
And you're going to, I think this verse is telling us there's going to be a change.
Yeah. And, you know, one thing though that and I think we can all attend to this in our walk is, you know, you're not going to be perfect at first. You know, we're being made perfect. But you will find yourself not wanting to do the things that you used to do. The battle may still be there, but he gives you the strength to overcome the battle, you know, and give you the want to not want to do that. You know, he gives you the will to not want to do that, if I'm saying that right. Yeah. And, you know, you know, but yeah, we are born again and we're new creatures. So these things that used to be normal and things to you becomes alien to you and becomes different to you. And you start turning away from those things, you know, little by little, gradual by gradual. I mean, some things is just 100% just right now, boom, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But other things, the deeper things, you know, it's a process. You know, we are, he that began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ Jesus. So that means he's going to work on you until you're face to face with him. You know, we are being made perfect, and being born again is the beginning of your walk with Christ as he makes you perfect as you're walking here.
And you know, part of that is it's not that we're going to be born again and never have any desires to do anything wrong again, because those desires hit, those fiery darts hit, those fleshly desires, all these things are still there. But what Paul is saying here, the vocabulary and the vernacular he's using here is you got to bury it.
Yeah.
You got to crucify it. It's got to be reckoned to be buried. It's got to be reckoned to be dead. And when you bury it and you destroy that old man and you crucify that old man, remember, you can't crucify a spirit and cast out the flesh. You got to crucify the spirit and cast off the spirits. I mean, crucify the flesh and cast off the spirit. So here he's saying you're buried. Remember, you are dead. And it's, go ahead.
I was going to say, if we read, he explains that next few, you know, he basically builds up and explains what he's talking about in the next 4 verses.
Yeah. We talked about this a little bit last night in 1 John chapter 1. Because he says there, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to what? Cleanse us of our sins.
Yeah.
And we use this analogy that, you know, like on those, I used this analogy last night, you know, like on those CSI shows and some even like Avengers and Marvel stuff, like where they have these advanced computerized stuff and they can like take this touch screen and they can move stuff around.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
And they
yeah.
can throw stuff off the screen to get it off.
Yeah.
Well, like, that's kind of like what we do a lot. And I use this illustration is like, we have a file on our desktop called sin because it's there and it's going to be a big file. And what we do is we just exit out, but it's still on there. So the file has been forgiven. It's been X'd off. But what Christ does is he doesn't just X it off, because if it's just X'd off every time we open our desktop, we still see sin. What he does is he cleanses it. So he takes his finger and he throws it off our desktop.
Yeah.
That's being buried. It's being buried so that we may walk in the newness of life. Verse 5, for if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. And here, again, he's, as Greg was just saying, he's driving it home. We are dead with him. We are dead with him. And if we're dead with him, then we're also resurrected with him. And this is what Paul, to know him and the power of his resurrection, the power of it. Anybody else? Anybody got anything on that one? It's pretty much the same as 4.
I'm just waiting for verse 6.
All right, Greg, we'll get there. We'll get there just for you. You're itching over there. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin.
There you go. So, I mean, you may have, you know, before Christ, you was enslaved. You didn't even know it. You know, it was driving you. It was, you didn't know that it was controlling you, you know. But then, you know, like the song, I was blind, but now I see that what sin was doing was driving me. So it no longer has, you know, it no longer has the chain on you. Now you know what it is. You then at this point is when you know what to do good and do it not, to him it is sin. So now that you know what it is, there begins the walk. You know, okay, this is it. Am I going to give in to this today, or am I going to walk after the Spirit today, or am I going to walk after the Lord today? And there is where we grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. So again, old self crucified. Paul's really driving this in. Yeah. And 7, for one who has died has been set free from sin. So here, I don't see any verse in this that says, hey, it's cool to continue in sin. Mm-hmm. It's, you're bound by it. You can't really help it. Like, what a defeated gospel we preach whenever we tell people that you can't help but sin.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It just says it does not, you are freed from it. It does no longer control you. You have the power now over that. You know, it's just realizing that power that you have, you know, that, and you do that as you grow, you know, as you learn, as the Lord is perfecting you. You know, it's just like you know, you've heard me talk about how they melt gold down and they put it in the furnace and they heat it up and they burn all the impurities out, and then when the impurities, they come to the top, well, everybody can see them, well, then he'll scratch them off. There's kind of like what you're talking about, that wiping away. Well, you know, that's the way he does with us. You know, this fire refines us and it reveals the sin that's in us, sin that we may not even know is there. You know, we may only see the symptoms of it, but we don't know what's causing, where the root is, you know. And because we're stuck between our ears and we only see from the inside of our eyes out, we're very self-centered. It takes the Lord to show us what's outside of us, you know, and where the roots are in us. And, you know, we want to, I guess the medical field knows what I'm talking about. If you just deal with the symptoms, the problem never goes away. You know, so our sin, the things that we do, are just the symptoms of the issue that's going on. And just like We got to get to the root of the issues, and that's the part that's deep and only the Lord can do. Because we can practice and on the outside, like in, what is it, whitewashed tombs, whatever.
With dead man's bones.
Yeah, with dead man's bones. So we can make it all look good and do the right things, you know, but our inside's just full of everything, you know. So it mm-hmm. takes the Lord in that too. Yeah.
Yep. Miss Hannah, you got anything?
Mm-mm. I kind of did cover some of this more than I thought I did yesterday, but.
Oh, well, we are.
We want to move on.
Verse 8. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once and for all. But the life he lives to
God.
So you must also consider yourself dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. So now Paul is telling us what we must do in this.
Yep.
This is what Christ did, but this is what we must do. We must consider or reckon ourselves dead to sin and alive to God.
And in verse 12, please.
So let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions.
There you go. Neither yield your members. Sorry, verse 13. You got to go. You got to go all the way to 14.
I do want to say something on 12. when we reckon ourselves as dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus, now we're going to not let sin reign.
Yeah.
Which means that it's not going to control me no longer.
Exactly.
It's not my governor. It's not my master. And it cannot make me obey the passions. Now, again, is that saying passions are not going to arise? Absolutely not. There's going to be temptations. There are temptations, and we will have to overcome. And we must come out and separate ourselves from among them. And this is what Paul's reiterating. You have to consider yourself dead. And here's one of the things that happens. A lot of times people think, well, I'm not watching this, or I'm not saying those words. I'm not smoking that. I'm not drinking that. You know, but what happens is we lose heart a lot of times, and we just kind of slowly start to drift back into it, and we drift, and then we drift farther, and we drift farther. Why? Because slowly we start to surrender back to passions. That's what I see so often, and that's why it's so important to be with the body of Christ. And, you know, even over the last week, like when you're not with the body of Christ, was there like any grotesque sin that we were committing? No. But Greg, do you notice like when you're not with the body, how your heart becomes a little bit more
dark,
stale?
Yeah.
And you start to wonder. Your mind starts to wonder. I think this is where it's so important to not forsake the assembly together of with a body, because in that we are sharpened, and we are, and it's not necessarily saying you're in grotesque sin, or, you know, you have to go to church every time the doors open or something like that, but last night felt so good to be back with the body after a week.
Yeah, well, you know, and the thing is, the people that you are around, you know, will affect, you know, what we got to guard what we see and guard what we hear, you know, because that is the windows into our hearts.
Yep.
It's through the ears and the eyes. And if you're around different people that's not of God, then you see ungodly things. So then ungodly things are coming into your windows. And, you know, when you let them in, when things come in your windows, they're in your house, you know.
Yeah.
And they sneak in, you know, this like you unaware. You don't think nothing about it or whatever, but then they're there. And then they'll pop up at certain times, you know. And it's usually, for me, they pop up when I'm trying to spend time with the Lord. You know, those things, whatever it is, like a lyric of a song that I heard while somebody was, you know, when I do an inspection, you know, everybody listens to whatever, and that's fine. It's none of my business, but I got to go in there and do it. Well, that stuff there, you know, I'll be in my time, and then a lyric of the song will come.
Yeah.
Or just something, you know, just something, just whatever it is,
well,
you know.
That's one thing that actually, I don't want to go back to the vacation, but mm-hmm. that's one thing that we've been having to deal with from it, because, you know, you have no control over the music that's playing over the ship.
Yep.
Well, my little girl was exposed to certain words and certain things that she is not exposed to. Because, and she's been asking about certain words. And so they've been, so she's been asking us, what's this mean? What's that mean? What's that mean? And so there was things that got into her ear gate that now we're having to deal with the consequence of as parents.
And one thing is, and I've always told my kids this, once you see something or you hear something, you can't unsee it and you can't unhear it. You know, and this is a perfect analogy of what I talk about the Garden of Eden. You know, whenever they're kicked out of the Garden of Eden, there's a flaming sword that goes every which way. Well, that's just like when we hear or see something, you know, just like that. You can't have that innocence back because you've seen it or you've heard it. So that flaming sword is there. You, there's no way to get back and not unsee that or not unhear that.
Yeah.
You know, and that's just the way it is.
Yeah. And so Paul hears those telling us that we have to kill that. Like, we've got to come out from among that. We've got to just, we've got to crucify that.
Yeah.
And then he's telling us, do not present your members to sin as righteous instruments for unrighteous, but present yourself to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments of righteousness, for sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. So he's telling us, now we have, he's shifted to our responsibility in that last few verses. Earlier, it was about what Jesus was doing, and he conquered sin.
Yeah, and it talks about the struggle here in 13.
Yeah.
It says, do not yield your members to the instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield your members unto God. So that means there's a pulling. There's a pulling both ways.
Yep.
You know, which one are we going to yield to? And it's, and he gives us the power to overcome, you know, because we're not bound. No longer are we bound because we've been born again. Before, we didn't know we were bound. That's, that was it. It had us. There was no way out. We didn't. Jesus is the only way out. Mm-hmm. Now we're born again. Now we war. That war is you
and
know,
this war is intensifying because as the end times get closer, the conscience will be seared with hot iron. There's going to be a falling away. There's going to be false teachers and false preachers arise. And we're going, these members are going to be pulled.
Yeah.
These members are going to be pulled each and every way. And we have to make sure that we are resolved.
Yep.
We have a resolve to continue to present our members to the righteousness.
And there's a righteous purpose for this too. Because the Lord, this is the refiner. You know, you'll either be... it talks about you'll fall on the rock and be broke to pieces, or you'll fall under the rock and be ground to powder. So these things that war against us, we're either going to fall to Jesus and let him put the pieces together, or we're going to succumb to the lusts and everything and
we're
be ground to powder.
Yield to one or yield to the other.
Yeah.
It says in my study notes, presenting ourselves, and it reminds me of the verse, presenting ourselves as a living sacrifice.
Living sacrifice, yeah.
Because we can give in to those things. Those things are going to come no matter what.
Yeah.
But are we going to give in to it? Yeah. Are we going to yield to that or resist
it? And if you do, if you do give in to it, are you going to hide it from the Lord? Are you gonna shove it under the rug, try to put a fig leaf on it?
Or are you going to be like Adam and blame God?
Are you going to blame this one or that one? Are you going to justify it, you know, with your self-righteousness? Are you going to... You know what I'm saying? Are you going to have all the excuses that why you're doing it? Or are you going to say, Lord, this just happened. I just did that. I don't want to do that, but this is what I just did. Here am I. Forgive me. You know, it says, come boldly to the throne of grace and obtain mercy.
Yeah.
Not saying that we just go and we do and do. No, we fight, we fight, we fight. Always fight. You know, and if you lose a battle, get back up. You know, a righteous man will fall seven times, but he gets back up. He don't stay down. You don't waller in it. You don't continue in it. You get back up. You tell the Lord about it. You get your forgiveness. You get your grace. You get your correction, and you roll on, and you grow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. And he will give you the grace to do so, and he'll give you the empowerment as we continue to surrender ourselves. Again, 1 John 1's really good to talk about this, and
you got to be real. You can't be faking. You can't, you yes. know. Yeah, it's got to be real.
And we submit ourselves to Him, and we give ourselves to Him. And if you go back, this is all about your joy being complete. This is about surrender to Him, because we know that sin leads to death and righteousness leads to life. And I don't know about you, but I want life and life more abundantly. And I want my life to matter. I want my life to count. And my life won't count. And my life won't matter. And I won't raise up a legacy of children if sin is my dominion.
Yeah.
Because death will be the result.
You know, this was talking about a conversation I had with my preacher, Curtis, yesterday. We was talking, and there's a song out there. I can't remember the name of it, but in that song it says, "If you've never done another thing for me, you've done enough." Mm-hmm. You know, I can't remember. And the song's great, you know, but I got to think about that part of that song. If he never done another thing for me, I would go right back to where I was. I got to have him every minute of every day, because he's the one that's keeping me. It's not me being good. I couldn't be good if he's not with me every second of every minute of every hour of every day. If he was to never do another thing for me, I would go right back as if I'd, you know, I mean, he's the one that's preserving me. He's the one. It's God that works in me both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So he's the one that gives me the want to and the ability to, you know. I just can't do it without him. There's nothing. He's all I got. He is all I got. There's nothing I can do. There is no credit here of me.
Amen.
Yeah, and you know, they say, well, you act like you need the Lord all the time. Well,
every second,
as Kevin Wallace says, I don't even want to go to Walmart without the Holy Ghost. So, you know, I need him everywhere I go. And so it is, I think that's why, you know.
You're by yourself, that's when you need him more than anything.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's when you really need him. And that's why the enemy wants to separate you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, like even yesterday morning, I'll use yesterday morning with the flood for an example. There was, honestly, I don't think there was ever really like, and this is something we can't do. I was never really like stressed. Mm-hmm. Now we was hurrying. Like there's a difference between hurrying and being stressed.
Yeah.
Like because we were getting the water up and we were running around trying to get stuff done. Yeah. But that had nothing to do with being stressed or overwhelmed.
Yeah, it was just getting a job.
It was just getting a jun because we need to get the water up.
Get in front of the water.
But even in the midst of that, like, when a moment you're waking up at 5:30 and it was a kind of an emergency situation, a lot of times as just humans, stress, anxiety, all these things.
Yeah.
And in the midst of Miss Betty swinging her broom and us slinging around that shop vac, you know, I just turned to Miss Betty and said, you know, this place did need a good mopping. So I guess this helps us quite a bit. You know, it was stuff like that, but we were able to still smile.
Yeah.
And we were able to still have joy. Why? Because the weapon may be formed, but it will not prosper.
Yep.
And if we learn who he is and we learn who we are in him, and Psalm 91, we hide ourselves in the shelter of the Almighty, the weapons won't prosper.
Yep.
What the enemy wants us to do, and I even notice in my own heart that's starting to happen to me, because do you know how one of the telltale signs that I'm not walking where I need to be with him? Entertainment starts to pull me back in.
Oh, yeah.
Entertainment is my downfall. Like, I'm never going to be one of those people that struggle with partying or struggle. I don't struggle with drinking. I don't struggle with smoking that or anything. That's not my temptation.
Right.
My temptation is just entertainment and useless, pointless entertainment.
Yeah.
And I found myself over the last 2 week or two just being pulled into wasteful entertainment.
Yeah.
That's what I know that's a proclivity in my own heart
mm-hmm.
when I'm not walking with him as I should and walking in the spirit. And so, you know, but like yesterday though, it was a good day, even though it was a bad day, because your heart's being settled and we're finding him and we're reckoning ourselves dead. So
you're growing in the
grace. We're growing in the grace
and knowledge.
And it's all because we're willing to submit ourselves to a different member. Because I could easily submit it to stress and anxiety yesterday and freak out. Mm-hmm. Instead, I submitted to, hey, we might as well smile about it because God's good.
Yeah.
And whatever happens,
still here.
Yeah.
Whether I'm mad or sad,
it's still going to be there.
It's still there. I got to get it.
And you know what? I was so busy about kingdom work, not just the flood, other things. I didn't have time for pointless entertainment. And so it was, I don't know. Those are the days I enjoy because they're mattering.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? It's not about being prideful or making everybody know your name. Like, I don't know about you. Like, it's just I want our lives to matter.
Yeah.
And to our children, to our spouses, to our communities. And because think how much, like, the apostles' life mattered. Like, it was, and it wasn't like they're trying to stand out, but they were making a difference.
Well, for me, I just want to matter to my Lord. You know, I want to do whatever it is He'd have me do. And regardless, because everybody's got their this or their that somebody this or that needs to be doing this or whatever, you know, which is that, and that's okay. You know, everybody's got a place. But for me, I want to be pleasing to the Lord and to Him alone. And whatever He have me do, I want Him, you know, I pray that I have ears to hear and eyes to see and do whatever it is that He'd have me do. And I just want to be pleasing to Him, you know. And so much of the time I feel like that I don't measure up, you know. And.
Well, the Bible commissions us two great commandments.
Yeah.
Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul.
Yeah.
Make your life count, but also love your neighbor as yourself.
Yeah.
I think we're supposed to be distinctively different in both of those.
Yeah, and I when you love the Lord God with all your heart and all your soul, the second follows suit.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't love your neighbor as yourself unless the Lord is pulling the strings.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because we can't do that.
Yeah.
In ourselves. We're too self-centered and we just don't understand. We don't have the capability because, you know.
We're not reckoned dead yet.
Yeah.
When we reckon ourselves dead, submit ourselves to Him, surrender and walk in the Spirit,
yeah,
then truth and light will abound.
Yeah, all of that is Him working in us.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to take a break time. Thursday, question number one, sponsored by the Sicilian Bank. Who was the only ruling queen of Judah? Who was the only ruling queen of Judah? We will be right back here after the break on Mornings of Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network. All right, we are back here on this beautiful day in the neighborhood. I did not hear the phone ring, so I guess that number is still open here. Or this question, who was the only ruling queen of Judah? I wish y'all could have seen it during the break. Greg was trying to listen to see if we're coming back, and he puts his ear to his microphone.
You didn't have to tell nobody.
Oh, I had to.
He puts his
ear right up to the microphone, and he's like.
It starts laughing immediately. I did. I realized that immediately. Like, wait a minute.
I wish I had like a security camera or a camera or something. I could have had that videoed on there.
Oh,
that'd have been great to see, be able to post that on Facebook there. Yeah. But it is good to be with you on this October the 10th. Miss Hannah's she may say some stuff. Greg wouldn't stop talking, he said. We went to break and she said, Greg, if you would have quit talking, I had some stuff to say.
Yeah. I just wouldn't shut up.
You should hear
how. We all covered a lot of stuff.
You all should hear how we talked to each other on break. that is just joking. Not disrespect there. But she's going to take us in the Kingdom Corner, and she may say one or two things about that topic we was previously on to.
Okay. Kingdom Corner, I'm in Mark chapter 4, verse 30. And he said, with what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when sown on the ground is the smallest of all the seeds of the earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. And so I love this parable and thinking about this in the kingdom, you know, because he's talking about what can we compare the kingdom of God to? And the kingdom of God is such a wide, it's mentioned so many times in scripture. And we know that we're living in the kingdom of God, but at this time, they were really struggling to understand what this kingdom is spiritually, because their eyes hadn't been opened spiritually until this moment. But I believe even when our eyes get opened spiritually, it's still, you know, we have to really listen to Jesus's words and think on them to really understand what the kingdom is, what it looks like, how we're supposed to operate. And so he's saying that it's like that mustard seed. So it starts off small when it's sown on the ground. So when he comes to live in us, the seeds of the gospel, the seeds of truth are sown into tilled up ground. It takes root. And now we have that seed that starting to have a sprout of faith. Because he's the one who gives everyone a measure of faith. We're all given a measure of faith, and it starts off small, but it grows into larger than all the garden plants and puts off large branches. And, we know, going back to the parable of the true vine, that in order to produce these big branches, we first must have to be connected to the vine. We have to be connected to Jesus. Without him, there would be no mustard seed. That's why it's explaining the kingdom of God. We can't do it any other way. And if there is any anything that looks like these branches or this fruit of the kingdom of God, it's false. It's not true. And the fruit will show. But I love that it talks about how our kingdom life needs to be constantly growing. That's what I see here, is that there's never a time where you see a seed unless it's dying, you don't see it shrink back to what it was. You see it continue to grow and grow. And the more that it's watered, the more that the sun is shining on it, the more that all of the ingredients, the things that the nutrients that this seed needs, that's how it's going to keep growing. And the speed of different seeds might be different, the rate that it grows, but it's just the fact that it's growing. And it reminds me of Paul talking about the marks of a mature Christian, how, you know, we no longer focus on ourselves, and we no longer continue on the milk and the things that we were eating in the beginning, but we start to move on to we have more revelation from the Lord, the more consistent we are in his word, and we're eating from the word. And I think that when it talks about the branches providing shade for other people, that's what it's talking about, having spiritual food. We've learned how to eat. We've learned how to, dive into the word, dive into prayer, dive into just spending time with the Lord. And not that we know a lot, but we just know where our sustenance comes from. We know where to go when we need something. And so that's where we can provide that shade for other people, because there's people who haven't, they haven't experienced the Lord like we have if we've been walking with him longer, and our seed has been growing, our faith has been growing. So I love that picture. And I just have knowing that we have the answer. We have drink to give people. We have food to give people that are hungry. And the church makes up the kingdom. Now, the kingdom was already there, but like the church, the body of Jesus Christ, this is what he's telling us to do, that we are a place of nutrients. We are a place of rest. Not only us individually, but all of the body of Christ. We are a place that people should want to come and be around us. There should be something attracting them to us. Yes, the ones that are in rebellion and their hearts are hardened, they're gonna rebel. They're not gonna want to be around us. But the ones who are seeking that rest, the ones who are seeking the shade, seeking the living water, they will be attracted to us. And it's nothing of us, but it's it's the seed that we've been given. It's the Holy Spirit, the words of life that we've been given. And I think sometimes if we would really pay attention to the way that people are attracted to us, and children attracted to be around us, those of us who are walking with the Lord, we will be able to tell that, you know, it's nothing to do with us. It's because they see they're getting fed, even if we don't realize that we're feeding. We are feeding. And that's why it's important, you know, to always be just filled with the Spirit and have a word to share and have joy to share. And I love it. We all go through things. We all get tired. We still have a body that we're in, this earthly body, even though we have the joy, we have the seed, we have Jesus. But I love, the people in my life that I know that, their life isn't going the greatest. They might be going through things, but they're still able to share that joy, still able to share that light, and still provide sustenance for others. But also they know that without them spending time with the Lord in the secret place, they wouldn't be able to do that because we would run out. We would run out of that food and drink and everything to feed others. So that's the corner.
Amen.
Well, and that goes back to what we was talking about, when we're dead, when we die and we're crucified with Christ, then we're live in his resurrection. That's that is that mustard seed. In the beginning it's small, and we bury it, and it's buried, and it starts to grow. That's our faith. As we bury the old man, the old man begins to die, just like that seed. And as the old man dies, it produces the new life in us, and it's just hand in hand with what he's talking about here with that mustard seed, we crucified the old man, and that could be that small seed. And out of that small seed, he's working in us, and he's producing in us, and we grow. And then we become overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So that's how they lodge in our branches. We tell mm-hmm. what the Lord has done for us, yep. They give shelter to others. Nothing of us, it's what the Lord has done in us.
Yeah.
And his work that he does in us. But yeah. So what would you have it on your
I don't know now. Oh, I don't okay. think I can go back to it.
Okay.
My mind isn't in it anymore. But okay. But our topic for the day, and we do have a guest today. She's supposed to be calling in. Her name's Miss Patty, and she's from the Owensboro Health, and they have a volunteer program. And I hope Miss Gail is listening this morning, because she's the one. She's been trying to get this interview for a long time. Oh. So she's been talking to Miss Patty, and they have a program there that Miss Gail has volunteered in, to be able to help patients and give back to the community there. And so anybody looking for ways to volunteer, they have a program there where you can help out. And I'm sure that there's a lot of needs at the hospital. So thankful that she's going to come on with us today at 8:30. So, and then our topic is promises of God in Scripture.
Promises of God. And so one thing that we can say first and foremost is, aren't you glad his promises never fail?
Yep.
Amen.
They are amen. Yes and amen. Yeah, because if you look at today, like as well-meaning as we are, a lot of times we fail each other or things come up or, I'll do that, and then we yeah. never get to do it.
Yeah.
We have a God who, when he says he will do it, he will do it. And that is something we can go to the bank on.
Yeah, I always tell my wife, you don't have to remind me every 6 months. I'll get that whatever it is you need done,
She just said amen. She said, oh, that's right.
Yeah, you don't have to remind me every 6 months. God's not like that. Oh, man.
So... Yeah. What is some of your guys' favorite promises that really stick out to you all in the Scripture?
I mean, to me, there's so many that affect us. I mean, we know that we're grafted into the kingdom, and his faithfulness that he has shown to Israel, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that to me is just amazing. The faithfulness, the... keeping of his promises of protection over them for all of these years. I mean, we can still see just the amazing supernatural protection that has been on the people of Israel, even though, seeing how much rejection and idolatry and wandering away, but just seeing his faithfulness and his promises being kept, it gives me, it encourages me and makes me very thankful to know that I am, through the blood of Jesus, in the family of God, because I know that that same faithfulness is applied to me through his covenant, through the blood, through his promise to return and get his church and us to live with him forever. So, I mean, that one to me is the greatest, just watching his protection over Israel. And then, you know, obviously the promise of Jesus to keep us and for us to be with him for eternity. But also the rainbow is just amazing to me. The promise of never flooding the earth again, and just being able to physically see that promise every time after it rains is pretty awesome.
For me, my favorite is, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will go with you all the way to the end. You know, when I see that played out in my own life, but that really becomes real in the scriptures as well, you know. And, you know, just like in the book of Jonah, you know, we talk about Jonah, you know, but the focus should be on Nineveh, because they were in their own sin and God was going to destroy them, you know, but he loved them. You know, he could have just went ahead and let them go, but he didn't. And so he sent Jonah to tell them. And as soon as Jonah tell them, they come to themselves and they repented and they returned to him. You know, we all focus a lot on Jonah and his journey to get there, and we kind of miss the whole point of the whole thing was God loved all those people that were living outside of him, and he wanted to reconcile them to himself. And he sent his guy to tell him, you know, and made sure that his guy went and told him, you know, because he was going to destroy those people. And, but he didn't, and because he loves them, you know, and he loves us. He doesn't want to send, you know, he doesn't want us to, he doesn't wish that anyone perish, but all come to the knowledge of the truth, you know. Mm-hmm. And so mine is, he'll never leave me or forsake me. He'll always be with me all the way to the end, you know. So, you know, whatever it is that I do, I turn to him. You know, if whatever mess I end up getting myself in, you know, the consequences are still going to be the consequences, but he will see me through if I am true to him and turn to him and, you know, and come to him and just submit to him. He will see me through.
Amen.
Yes. Well, I want to read the scripture and we'll talk, you know, for me, this is like Peter starting to deal with like what these promises are doing. He says to 2 Peter 1:4, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desires. To me, these great promises that he has been doing and fulfilling and sustaining and staying the course in, they're actually creating in us the ability, opportunity, and the grace to become partakers in the divine nature. That all the promises of God, all the promises are yes and amen, but all the promises are there to what? Get us into a position to where we can be more like him, and we can become more, become partakers of that divine nature. Does that mean we're becoming God? Absolutely not. But does that mean that we are more coming more Christ-like? Absolutely, because Holy Spirit is there in us for one reason, or the major reason that he's in us is to what? Conform us into the image of the Son. That Holy Spirit's there to knock things off of us, to get us to look into the perfect mirror of Jesus and say, that's where we need to transform. That's our standard. That's us. And how do we get there? The promises of God. The promises of God.
I'm sitting there singing a song, Standing on the Promises of God. I'm not
going to sing. Standing. Standing. Is that it?
Yeah.
Standing on the promises of God. See, that's that. Come on, Greg, your turn.
Oh, no. No.
Come on, Greg.
No, we don't want to do
Man,
that.
I forgot about that song until you said it.
Yep.
That's got some.
I got Alan Jackson singing it in my head right now.
I don't know if I've ever heard that one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He sings, he's got a great Christian album.
He probably sings it a lot.
The hymns. Yeah.
Does he sing it better than I just did?
Yeah. Yeah,
he does. Greg.
Yeah. Hey, I mean, you sing good. You do good. But, you know, he is a professional. So there's that.
That's right.
You know, we got to give due where it's due. You know, just like on a golf course, you can play golf, and I like to tour the golf course, you know. So
I'm still behind the YouTube video. I'm behind the YouTube channel.
Oh, no.
The Cowboy Golfer.
Well, you got damn. That's the only time Yeehaw I went
golf.
This whole year.
Huh?
That's the only time I've been this whole year is with you guys. That's
yeah,
it.
But what
been.
If it, like, went crazy and you just went nuts and got propelled into this place of influence and you got to tell everybody about Jesus by wearing your you are the only person I've ever seen play golf in cowboy boots and cowboy hats.
Well, there you go.
You are the only person. I loved it. I thought it was amazing.
Yeah.
I would watch the videos.
I have been threatened to or told not to come back because if I didn't have golf shoes at one course, so.
So you didn't go back?
I ain't been back. So,
see, you could be playing the YouTube channel, hitting the golf ball, and if you hit a bad shot, you could turn around to the camera and say, "You know what was bad? That shot. You know what's not bad? Jesus, and He is here to save you and redeem you."
Sounds to me like it's your YouTube channel. You need to kick that one off and go ahead and get the door.
I don't look right in a cowboy hat. Sorry, this head's not built for that. I got a big head, so. I guess they can. Somebody told me they can make a cowboy hat, like just for your head.
Mm-hmm. Tailor made. Yep.
Sounds expensive.
Oh yeah.
I'll just if I ever got a cowboy hat, it'd be like you know like when little kids get those cowboy hats as little kids.
Yeah.
And it just like sits on top of their head and half their head still sticking out though.
You just get a string that way and tie it on there.
That would be me. That would be me 100%. All right, we still haven't got an answer for this trivia question yet, so we'll give it another shot. Tuesday question number one, sponsored by the Sicilian Bank. Who was the only ruling queen of Judah? Who was the only ruling queen of Judah? 270-257-2689. We will be right back here after the break on Mornings of Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network. All right, we are back on this beautiful October the 10th. Good morning to all those in Owensboro, Kentucky, 98.3, Hinesville, Glasgow, 91.1, and Litchfield, 91.5. Miss Jerry got that answer correct. Adonijah, it was 2 Kings 11:3. Amen. Do y'all talk more about promises of God during the break? I did miss the phone call, but I did call back. Yeah, that means we'd have two now. And honestly, what nationality was Timothy's father may have been answered before, too. But that means we're just reviewing. We're seeing how many.
Brother Denny is really
It makes it easier.
Testing us.
Yeah.
Now next week he said he's doing something new, and I think all the answers are going to be something with numbers. I do believe it's numbers.
Like actual numbers.
He said he's doing a week theme of numbers. I think that's what he told me on the phone.
It's hard because you don't know if you're talking about the book of numbers. Or
oh no. We'd have to Google for that one.
Or actual numbers.
What if we did a whole Q&A on Exodus or Chronicles?
Let's go Leviticus.
Leviticus?
Yeah. I mean, let's do that one.
Actually, you know, for me,
yeah.
I think Leviticus was harder to get through than Chronicles.
I was going to say because it's all of the you cut them this way and you divide them that way and And all, it's just, yeah.
Like Chronicles, I still struggle with because I don't know how to pronounce the names. But it don't bother me. I just read them however I want to and just keep moving on.
That guy. Yeah.
Yeah. We signed up to read Nehemiah, read through the Bible. And, like, you know, like first of the year when we read through the Bible at the public square. Some reason we signed up Nehemiah, and I have no idea how we got it. Man, that was tough.
Yeah.
Me and Joe, we were struggling.
Oh, man.
But, all right, so we'll get back to the promises of God. So, let's see here. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, "For all the promises God find their yes in him. That is why it is through him that we utter our amen to God for his glory." Yeah. John 3:16, one of the most famous promises, "For God so loved the world that gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but what? Have eternal life." What a promise. Isaiah 41:10, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Philippians 4:19, "And my God shall supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." Romans 8:28, "For we know that all things work together for the good for those that love God and are called according to his purposes." Are called according to his purposes. 1 John 1:9 is what we read earlier. "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Isaiah 43:2, I really like this one. "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you." Any other ones you all got in front of you?
I don't
know. One that I thought of was that his, like, honestly, everything is a promise because we know that, like, he's going to fulfill what he says. Like, so everything he says that he's going to do, we know it. He's going to follow through with it and do it. But that when we humble ourselves and turn to him and repent, that he will heal our land. That one is very, and that when we draw near to him, he will draw near to us. Because, I mean, without that, without him drawing near to us, we couldn't get through anything. So I just love that. I think there's certain ones for everybody that kind of stick out to you in your walk because of things that you've walked through or things that you've, you know, been through. But there's just so many good ones. And I think that we need to remind ourselves of those and these promises, but also promises that he's given us specifically over our life. Because I think that that keeps us going, keeps us moving forward with whatever he's given us, whether, you know, it's our family, whatever he's given us in this life to as a gift and as or as a assignment, as a job, whatever it is, you know, just reminding ourselves of what he's promised us helps us to keep going.
Yeah.
On the hard days.
"Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away." So, I mean, all the, well, like you said, there's so much in here. I mean, I can't nail just the one down other than the one I was talking about. You know, he's going to be with me all the way to the end. You know, when all the stuff that I'm struggling with or, you know, I may have victory today, I may have failure tomorrow, whatever, you know, but he's going to see me through all of that, you know, as long as I am and turning to him in all the things that I do. Yeah.
Amen. Now, here are some things I want to talk about, like some of these scriptures like we read, Joshua 1:9. "Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Now, what a lot of people say is, well, that was written to Joshua, not to Greg. All right.
I would disagree with that person.
I think what's happened contextually, it is written to Joshua. Like, it is written to Joshua in the Word. But what these things are doing is they're teaching us his character, his principles, his personality. because the Lord has all of those, and they're revealing who he is. And as we're his children, he's going to be with us, because we can be strong and courageous because he is with us, and he's never going to forsake us. He's never going to leave us, like what Greg's talking about. And so if somebody comes up to you and says, I'm claiming this promise, well, this promise isn't for you. It was for Joshua in that one. The promise originally was for Joshua, but it shows us who the Father is. And that's what Jesus came to do. Jesus came to manifest the express deity of the express expression of who the Father was in the earth, so that we may know him and we may have the light of the Lord revealed, and we may have the truth of the Lord revealed. So these promises in scriptures, like, I don't think David and Goliath was written about me. It was actually written about David and Goliath. But the principles of David and Goliath apply to my life because God never changes. So that's what Revelation is talking about, that the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, because if he's done it before, he can do it again. And he will do it again because he never changes. It's what we call in theology the immutability of God, that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So when you're reading these promises and you're thinking, man, look what he did for David. Look what he did for Joshua. Look what he did for Gideon. Look what he did. If he did it for them, he can do it and will do it for you as well. Now, here's a question that I have, and I'm gonna ask this and let you all deal with this hard question. Does the promises of God apply to us regardless of what we do? Do y'all... I'm gonna chime in too, but if we are living a life of rebellion or not born again, does those promises apply to us?
The word is pretty clear. If you do this, this happens. If mm-hmm. you do that, that happens. Because heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away.
There's
a forever promise. There is, you know,
there's
something.
If.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I think it's pretty clear. I mean, there are promises that unbelievers or people in rebellion benefit from, like never flooding the earth again.
Yep.
I mean, there are promises like that, but
yep.
There's so many specific ones to his people.
Yeah.
So, what would we say to people like, people like, Exhibit A is a person, and Exhibit A is going through some things right now. And I'm not doing this, like, this isn't like one of those.
Yeah.
I have a friend. Like, this is a legitimate, like, yeah. just a theorized thing. Exhibit A is struggling with some situations in their life right now. There's some bad things happening. They are saying, well, I'm just in a trial. I'm in this. I'm in a battle. When is it really a battle that we're trusting the promises of God? And when is it that maybe my lack of repentance over the sin is actually producing this battle, and the promises that we're waiting on is not coming because it's actually our sin that's producing the consequence, not something else. Does that make sense?
Oh. Yeah. Well, see, all of that is revolved in itself right there. You know, it's that trial that is in you is that stuff that's in there that God is revealing to you. So, you know, just like when the trials come, you know, and like I talked about the furnace heating up the gold, you know, that's a trial, and then it reveals the sin in you. So in order for sin to be revealed in you, how else is that going to happen if you haven't done it? You know, does that make sense? How else is it going? Are you going to come to the throne of grace to obtain mercy if you didn't do anything to go to the throne of grace and obtain mercy for? So him revealing the sin in us is that struggle, is that battle that we're dealing with to reveal that in us.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how long we stay in it is how long it, you know, before, you know, are we going to be prideful and not want to give that sin up? Or we want to make our own excuses, you know, use our own self-righteousness to justify that sin, to keep
yeah.
it? Or are we going to surrender to God and come boldly to the throne of grace and say, Lord, this is what I've done. I have sinned against you. Forgive me. Give me the strength to get over this, you know? So all of that, what you said there is, it's kind
of... Are you talking about more of someone who's like in a lifestyle of sin?
Well,
not repentant?
I'm talking like, we talked about this before, but I don't think I really haven't heard a really good answer, and I don't know if I have one yet, like, because I'm still trying to figure out how to put this into words. Like, my diet is not great. And so I'm slowly making adjustments, but my taste buds are so bad that it's
so
very
picky.
Selective, so picky.
Yeah.
All right. So with my diet, the way I know that I eat, there is natural repercussions of that.
Yeah.
All right. So if I continue to eat stuff that I know is blatantly unhealthy for me, and there's consequences of that, is God because when God speaks his word, he's obligated to withhold it. He holds his word higher than his name, right?
Yeah.
So is there promises that like God's going to fulfill over my life? Like, these are hard things that we got to ask.
Well, so
like,
what
if I knowingly are putting junk in my life.
All right. Well, so like what you're saying there, if you want it prosperous and all the things, then you do what the Lord will have you do. Now, if you're just being healthy within yourself and you're doing all the things within yourself and you're taking all the, you know, like, well, I'm going to live forever because I'm eating my vegetables, I'm drinking my juice, I'm doing whatever that the good stuff
that
is.
We're supposed
to, the good stuff.
I like how you said juice. It's just kind of like my juice.
Yeah, I don't, you know what I'm saying? Whatever it is, I don't know because I don't do it either. You know what I mean? But what I'm saying is if you're doing that within yourself, then that is you doing it. Does that make sense? Not to say.
But is there an expectation?
Let's do this. Let's use the word to explain itself. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So apply that to everything that you do, whether it's your diet. Does that make sense? So whatever it is, seek the kingdom and his and God's righteousness in that, and all these things will be applied into you. If you're just doing it within yourself because this is what I want to do, that's not seeking the kingdom. That's seeking what you want.
I guess, go ahead.
I think it's a process. Like, he called you to things before you were ready for it.
Yeah.
So he knew that it's going to take a process to get you prepared to the place that he's bringing you, the things that he has planned.
The wine press, the crushing.
I mean, like, he called so many different people in the Word, and they weren't where they needed to be. They were still doing things they didn't need to do, but they eventually ended up growing. And I think it's just if we're growing or not. Like, if we're working against him, we're probably not going to end up walking into some of those promises that he has for us. But if we're letting him, I mean, I don't know. I just feel like we have to be careful to not get too like works based with it.
Exactly. That's where I'm
like
at.
I think it's like a fine line, because we can't, if we have a heart posture of like, I'm just going to keep doing whatever I want and God's going to give me everything, I don't think he rewards that. But I do think like there's promises and plans he has for us that like he doesn't just take away. Like, it's there, but there might be things that
The giftings, we can say without any hesitation, the giftings and the callings are without repentance. But there is some questions about what giftings and the callings he's talking about, because there he is talking explicitly about Israel. So I don't know. I mean, everybody knows me. I'm not really a works person at all. But I do struggle with the fact of walking in direct disobedience to God's ways, but expecting God's promises.
I don't think you can do that.
That's kind of what I'm talking about. Yeah. Like, I don't think we can directly walk in opposition of his ways and expect God's promise to be in full manifestation in our life.
Mm-mm. That's why I say, you know, she said it the best right there. That's like everything I was trying to say, she just like made it real easy and simple. Then I complicated it real. But it goes back to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So those two, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, not ours, not our plans, not, you know, but his will, not our will, but his will. you know, submit your plans to the Lord. You know, tell him, hey, this is what I like to do, but hey, not my will, but yours. I'm listening to you. I'm following you. I'm seeking your kingdom and your righteousness. And in every aspect, whether it's your diet, whether it's your job, whether it's your whatever it is, do that and put him first. And these promises will follow. His word is true. And he will not turn from his word.
So would we say, I'm trying to be more question-based.
You can't get away with living your own life and expecting blessings of God is what you're saying, right?
I want to, is the promises of God are, now, I don't want to make the, well, I'm with Hannah, I don't want to make them works-based.
Yeah.
But is the promises of God conditional?
I mean, in the word, they're specific. If you do this, then I will do this. So yeah,
that's very specific.
So if we don't do that, will he do that?
Yeah. Not for the specific ones. I do think that there's different promises. There's specific promises in here, but then there's promises of
not flooding the earth.
Not flooding the earth. There's promises of that he's going to bless those who bless Israel and curse those who curse Israel. But even that's conditional, because it's saying, if you're cursing them, I'm not blessing you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I mean, most of them are conditional. We obey him, what he's telling us, and then he blesses us or fulfills whatever he's saying is going to be fulfilled. But I do think there's promises as well. I guess the better word would be plans that he has for our life, for everyone, a purpose and a plan, a destiny. And in order to fulfill those, I don't think we can work to do that. I think we have to stay in step with him, and he will help us to, he'll conform us to be able to get.
But is there a time that, is there a time that we go too far and those callings or those plans are changed or revoked?
I mean, if we don't get in alignment with him.
As far as I'm concerned, is
I'm interviewing you. I enjoy this.
The way I look at it is, you know, you either following the Lord or you're following yourself. And if you're following yourself, you're going to fail. If you're following the Lord, all his promises are going to be there, regardless.
And you're going to prosper.
Yeah, and you're going to prosper because you're seeking the kingdom and his righteousness. If you're seeking your kingdom and your righteousness, you're going to fail. You're not going to walk in his promises. You may have this or that, or, you know, you may find some here and there, but it's still, you're not living in the promises of God. He does promise, yes, because even if you live for yourself, he promised you what's going to happen that way too. So, you know, everything that he says is true. Now, which way you take is going to be true, whether you're going to take yourself to hell or you're going to allow the Lord to save you into heaven. You know, his word is true both ways. So mm-hmm. you can be blessed or you can be cursed because his word's got it laid out. And it doesn't change. I am the Lord, I change not. I've said everything, it is finished, he says. It is finished. Mm-hmm. Everything is laid out. There's nothing outside of this word. So whatever choice there is out there, he's already given it to you to choose from. You know, there's no other choice other than what he's already spoken. There isn't nothing outside of this. So, all a promise.
I do think with the parable of the talents, I mean, there would be a certain destiny that person would have got to if they would have used that talent, if they would have multiplied it. But if you bury it, then you're definitely not going to get to the place that he planned for you to get to.
So do you think that parable saying he can take it away?
He did. The parable said he took it and gave it to the others and cast him out into where the weeping and gnashing of teeth.
I think eventually, yes. Yeah. I mean, I think he that was his plan, but we can choose not to walk in his plan.
Mm-hmm. So do you think that Judas... was that the plan for Judas's life of what happened?
I don't.
I think so.
Now we're getting into a deeper question.
I think it was because Jesus knew was going to.
I think Jesus knew what he was going
to. Yeah.
Jesus knew what he was going to choose, but I don't think.
Yes.
I could be wrong though, but I don't think.
Miss Hannah was telling me about you coming on. I don't know if you remember me or not.
You are the chosen one to betray, and you will. We're going to be. God wanted him. We got a break here coming up. I don't think God would ever want creation to betray and to die and go to hell.
Okay.
Or,
but God, knowing everything.
No, we don't have to talk for 30 minutes. You can just do whatever, however long you feel comfortable.
This was his path that he was going to take.
Yeah.
You know, and he used it for his.
All right.
Sounds good. Things and use it for his good. You know.
But I think what Aaron is saying is, like, was that his destiny? And yeah. I don't think that that was his plan to destiny. I think that's the destiny he, God knew he would choose.
Yep.
But
what is our
predestination? Yeah,
we're gonna
probably disagree with.
We're gonna cover that in theological debt soon. Not next Friday. Is that on the list next Friday?
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that. See, this is where I want to be careful.
But I could be wrong. I mean, it just doesn't.
It goes against God's character, I think, to make us he's got a purpose and a plan, you know, and he gives us his word, he gives us everything we need to allow us to follow him or not follow him.
Just to think that Judas didn't have a chance is what
he did have
me.
A chance. Yeah. He had all the chance. He walked with Jesus. So
this is where it gets fun.
Yeah.
Because we have to start defending against open theism, which teaches that God don't know the future. He definitely knows the future.
Oh, yeah.
He knows what choice I will make tomorrow.
Yep.
We have to defend his sovereignty, that he is in control, but we also have to defend our free will because that's very important in this whole thing.
So we have to knowing that Judas is going to do what he's going to do, sent Jesus to, hey, you're coming with me.
Mm-hmm.
Come follow me. Knowing what he's going to do.
Yep.
He's still doing what he wants to do, but God already knows what he wants to do, so he brings him in because he needs him to do this.
I think he used him for that purpose, but I think it was because he already saw his heart, he already knew his plans and desires, so he used it to accomplish that.
That's
but
what
I don't
I think
he put that desire betray Jesus in him. I don't think God can put an evil desire in us. I think that would already be there.
Yeah, because it says God does not tempt with evil.
Mm-hmm.
The word
this is
says
fun.
It. The word so says it.
Yeah. I'm having fun.
We got to call.
We got to call. We're going to go on a short break here. We'll read the second trivia answer, then we're going to come back in with Miss Patty from Twin Lakes Regional Hospital, and we are going to be talking some about that volunteer program. So we'll be right back here after the break on Mornings of Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network. All right, welcome back in with us on the phone this morning. We're so grateful she took time out of her morning. Miss Patty, how are you doing?
I'm awesome. How are you today, Aaron?
I'm doing well. I thought when I heard your name that it was, I knew you, and I was like, hey, I wonder if that's Miss Patty from the hospital, because I remember playing so much golf with Ryan back in our teenage years, and so it's really good to hear your voice, and it's good to have you on with us.
Good to hear your voice, Aaron. I do miss our golf days with following you and Ryan around the course and looking for balls like I called treasure.
Yes, that was my mom too. The problem is that I gave everybody a lot of balls to look for. I kept those woods really well equipped with golf balls. But you have, I know that you are on with us today. Talk about the volunteer program that we have at our local hospital. And I know a little bit about it, but I don't know a ton. My mom works there, and I'm sure, and so I know that she's talked about it a little bit as well. But explain to us, first of all, what that program is at our local hospital.
Okay, the volunteers, I ran across this bit of information this past year. The volunteers were actually organized on September 11th, 1956. So that is 68 years that our volunteer auxiliary program has been going. The volunteers, they do various things here at the hospital. Sometimes they're the first thing that a patient sees. They have a desk at the front entrance, and the volunteers will greet you. Patients will stop and ask for a room number or ask how to get somewhere, or they need a wheelchair. And so we generally have four or five wheelchairs at the front that they will sign out to you, and so you can get to where you're going. They make sock monkeys. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
I'll come back around to that. I have some volunteers that work in surgery. There may be a volunteer that will bring you a warm blanket in surgery or something to drink after you get back. The volunteers will take a coffee cart around a couple of times a day and offer visitors and patients coffee, which I think is a nice thing to do.
Yeah. So is a lot of this hospitality and just really reaching out to making people feel as comfortable and loved as they possibly can?
It is. They give the patient that extra love. They also are a fundraising arm. They manage the gift shop. They have books and puzzles for sale out in the front lobby that people donate. So the funds that they make from the sale of the books and the proceeds from the gift shop, they buy equipment for the hospital. So if
Oh, wow.
you've gotten a warm blanket and the chemo infusion, we've got them in different places. Chances are the volunteers bought that.
Oh, wow. I had no idea that the workers, so the ones in the gift shop, they are volunteers?
Yes, they are volunteers.
Awesome.
They do not get paid. They kind of laugh and like to say they get paid with pork chops.
they are right there by the cafeteria, aren't they?
Yes, they get to have a free lunch on the days that they work, or free breakfast, whichever one they choose. And that's the big joke with them, is they get paid with pork chops.
Well, hey, that hospital food, though, is pretty good. So that's not a bad gig right there.
No, it is good. We have some good people in the dietary, and actually we got good people all over. I can promise you I would not have been here for 44 years if the people weren't good and I believed in what we do.
Now, are you the head over the volunteer program, Miss Patty?
Yes.
Yes. Just making sure of that. You sound like you know what you're talking about, so I figured you were. But no, my son had his tonsils taken out at early August, and we were one of the recipients of one of those sock monkeys, and I know how much he loves that little thing.
Oh, very good. Yes, those are handmade by the volunteers. We're struggling a little bit with keeping up with the demand. Our surgeries for peds have increased since we have an ENT physician here. So now we can put tubes in and do those things again that ped patients usually require. So I think it takes them about 4 hours from start to finish to make a monkey. And
wow.
Well, I would try to volunteer to help make monkeys, but it would not look like a monkey when I was done.
Mine wouldn't either. I did not listen when my grandmother was trying to teach me to sew, and that is one of my regrets.
Yeah. Well, now, what if somebody is maybe, like, interested in becoming a volunteer? How would they even go about getting in touch with you, or what's the process of becoming a volunteer at the local hospital?
So you can go online to owensborohealth.org, to their website, and type in volunteer in that search engine, and it will take you to a link to fill out an application. But the last 6 months or so, I've just kind of encouraged the people who want to volunteer to come see me, and I will sit with them and go through that process online with them, which makes it a lot easier and them more comfortable with doing it, because mm-hmm. not everybody has a computer at home or computer savvy to navigate all those different screens that you go in to do it. So mm-hmm. it's worked out really well for them to just come see me and I'll help them sit down and do it. It's easy peasy.
That was my next question, because I know the older generation, they'd rather have some help with the computer stuff if they're wanting to come yeah. volunteer their time. I've seen a lot of the older generation actually volunteering whenever I come in the hospital. They're at the front desk yes. and, you know, around. I just assumed they were volunteers because they were
yes, you'll
very
know
nice.
You have a, yes, they'll have a red vest on, and they will have a name badge that identifies them as a volunteer. And, they're just an awesome group of ladies. And we have men. I have probably 3 sets of husband and wife teams
aww.
That volunteer.
I was thinking I had saw some men in the front desk area before.
Yes, and they're valuable too. It's not just for the ladies, and I think the husband and wife teams they'll volunteer together, and sometimes one will volunteer at the gift shop, and one will be at the front desk, but they will generally work on the same day. And,
So yeah, is there somebody maybe listening, is there a certain schedule, like they're required to work, or is it like I can give 1 day a week, or I can give 1 day every other week? Do you work around that? How's that work for the time frames?
We do. They volunteer in 4-hour shifts, Monday through Friday. So it's 8 to 12 or 12 to 4. And that generally works out great. Some of the volunteers who live in other counties will say, since they're already over here, they want to put in the full day, which is fine too. It doesn't matter. I'll take 4 hours. They 4 hours is what they do, and that works out.
Well,
I'm very lenient with them. If they have a doctor's appointment, or they're going to have visitors out of town, or they're going to go on vacation, I expect them to do that. And we'll look to find someone else to fill their spot for that day. If it's bad weather, if it snows, even if it's been bad storms, I will either send them home if the storm has come in, or if the forecast is for it to be bad, I ask them to stay home, because my number one priority is to keep them safe.
Mm-hmm.
And so they like that pretty well, too. I don't want anybody to get hurt trying to get here to volunteer, so...
Well, that sounds like an amazing opportunity for people to get involved in and be a part of our local community. And, of course, we all appreciate what our local hospital does for our community, and all the nurses and the doctors and the staffs and the everybody that makes that place turn. We appreciate and honor very much. And you don't appreciate a hospital until you don't have one to go to. And so... You know, I just really do appreciate you guys, and appreciate all the effort and the work you all put in. And to the volunteers, we appreciate too, because they're there. Mm-hmm. And they're, when you walk in that door, they're there smiling and saying hi, and you always appreciate that.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you expressing that sentiment, because a lot of times it's a thankless job.
Mm-hmm.
People want to tell you what you did wrong instead of what you did right, and mm-hmm. I think we do a lot right. Like I said, if I didn't believe in this hospital, know that it was a good hospital, believe in the mission and our team members here and our volunteers, I wouldn't have stayed here 44 years. And mm-hmm. I love this place. I know your mom does. She does a lot of good with what she does in her profession, and it takes all of us to make it work.
Mm-hmm.
Including the volunteers.
That's right. So if you're out there, people, and you're saying, I would like to get involved, and maybe you've been looking a way to serve our local community and making a difference, then we would definitely encourage you to get into contact or go to the website. Again, could you give that website one more time, Miss Patty?
is www.owensborohealth.org. My number here at work, I'll share that with you too, is 270-259-9512. And you can give me a call, and we can set up a time for you to come in, and I will assist you with that process.
Well, that sounds like an amazing opportunity. Thank you yet again, Miss Patty, for coming on with us. It was a blessing to at least hear your voice again, and we're praying many blessings over you.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Aaron. I pray blessings on you and your mission and what you do as well.
Well, amen. And if we can ever do anything else for you guys, if you ever have an event or you ever have anything you would like us to announce on behalf of the hospital, just reach out to us, and we definitely love to serve our community in that way as well, just getting the word out to the platform that God has entrusted us with. So
thank you.
Many blessings to you. Be safe, and we will talk to you again soon, hopefully.
All right. Thank you, Aaron. Have a great day.
You too, Miss Patty. God bless you.
You too. Bye.
All right. That seems like a wonderful opportunity for people to...
I feel like I need to meet her. She sounds like a very sweet lady.
Miss Patty's always been very nice. I've known her since, oh gosh.
Miss Gail's been really talking her up for a long time.
Probably from about the time I was 11 or 12. That's probably about the first age. That's probably as... I've probably known her since I was 11 or 12. So, and I played golf and with her son and stuff to that regard.
I didn't know that that was her son.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't know that.
And so, Miss Patty's always been a terrific lady, and you know, she's went through some things, and she stayed the course and stayed strong. So, many blessings to her. And if you are interested again about maybe volunteering, you can look her number up online, or go to the website for Owensboro Health here in Litchfield, Kentucky, Twin Lakes Regional Hospital. So.
We had a listener say that their grandparents volunteer there.
Oh,
they've been volunteers
excellent.
For a long time.
Yeah.
I see a lot of, you know, retired people, grandparents, stuff like that, volunteering. I haven't seen as many younger people. That'd be awesome to see some younger people.
Yeah. So next
step in there.
Now I would encourage you next time you walk in the hospital. I don't know, sometimes walking in the hospital you're nervous. You're excited, maybe birth just happened and you're excited, or maybe you have a test where you have to go get results and it's a little bit more nerve-wracking, or maybe you're just walking in there for a regular checkup. We've been in there quite a bit lately just for Liza and her ins and outs of going back to the labs and ultrasounds and all that kind of stuff. But even in all that, never, if you can, just look over to your right when you walk through those front doors and you will see those volunteers sitting there if it's 8 to 4. And just go tell them how much you appreciate them taking time out of their day, because we appreciate when Jackson had his tonsils taken out. He really did love his little sock puppet, his monkey puppet, whatever it is. And it was really well done. It was a nice one, and he still has it. And they get to take those home, and so it's like it's a comfort for a lot of kids when they're having surgeries. Mm-hmm. And somebody who's had surgery and somebody who's been through it, you know, you do appreciate that blanket. You do appreciate the.
And if anybody likes to sew, I mean, get in there.
Could be an opportunity.
They act like they need more help with that because they're having more patients.
Yes. And so I think with their new ENT physician over there, they're able to do, as she was saying, more surgeries. And, of course, that the local hospital is always growing. So it's just a good opportunity if you have an opportunity to go serve and volunteer, because we are very much about helping our community thrive and feel loved and feel and be a better place to live. I think that's important as the body of Christ, that we should make an impact on our community. So
I appreciate them helping me navigate, even though I've been to that hospital a million times. Not really a million times. I've not really been to the hospital a whole lot because I've not really had a...
She just felt convicted about over-exaggeration.
Yeah, because I honestly have not been there. That it kind of makes me feel better that I have trouble navigating because I really haven't been there much just to really visit people. I mean, I've been there for myself a few things, but with finding new doctors to go to and stuff, I always go to and I didn't even know they were volunteers. I go to the little gift shop and they help me find my way because it's a struggle sometimes, and I don't know what I would do in huge hospitals. I'd really have to get there really early.
It's we've been in some of them, and they get difficult to navigate, that's for sure. But Great morning. We have about 10 minutes left. Again, thank you to Miss Patty. And if you're interested in being a volunteer at the local hospital, then you are more than welcome to contact her, and she will get you all the information, help you get that volunteer applications sent in. And so, again, thank you for her taking her time out. So we were talking about the promises of God today, and Brother Greg shot out of here right before the interview. He had some inspections to get to. He's a busy man. He really is a busy man. He does a lot of inspections each day.
So he had like 20-something.
Yeah, and so and they're not right next door. These are not like a subdivision where you're doing 20 and one walking down the street doing them. These are sometimes...
He has to drive a lot.
Yeah, some of them are a pretty good drive. So, you know, we appreciate him taking time out of on his Thursday morning to come in and be with us as well. And so we are gearing up. Don't forget, please, two announcements that we are reiterating is the chili cook-off, the October 26th at the BCA. If you're a business owner or you're a business person, or maybe you're somebody who just wants to donate towards it and help our Christian school, there is an opportunity that gift or that donation for the auction is tax deductible. So we can get you those tax forms for sure. And they're going to a great cause of helping us continue to educate and equip our kids, and not just academically train them, but disciple them as well with a biblical worldview. And so we honor you and appreciate your help and your willingness to help. So maybe you have something you can donate. Maybe you have maybe it doesn't have to be anything grand. It could be a $20 t-shirt or anything. It doesn't matter. But we do honor and appreciate each and everybody's gift and donations, and we are gearing up for our silent auction. So if you want to be a part of that, please don't hesitate to get in touch with us. We have a donation letter we can send out if you want, and we have some here to pick up if somebody's willing to take some donation letters out to some businesses and drop them off. That would be very beneficial and helpful to us as well. As well as if you want the chili to get in the chili contest, it's free to enter the chili competition, and we need all the chili we can get.
And they do win a prize, don't they?
They do win a prize for the competition. And so this is our 19th annual chili cook-off. So we've been doing this for 19 years. This is the first year it's been targeted towards BCA. Mm-hmm. It usually is Refriver Youth Ranch chili cook-off, but Refriver Youth Ranch is on a pause right now for us here as we pray about the next steps to take with that ministry. But we are doing it for Bethel Christian Academy. So even though it is it is newness for that, it's still a staple, and this is our 19th year doing a chili cook-off. So we're excited about the opportunity to meet together. And if you've never been to the event itself, it is a wonderful time. We have games for the kiddos. We usually have a hayride for the kiddos. They can ride it back. We usually try to take the kids on a hayride while the auction's going on and let them go out and enjoy that as the parents and those are enjoying the auction. There's a silent auction that begins at 5. The live auction will begin at 6. I think it's $8 for adults to get in and $5 for kids, I think, to get in. And we usually have hot dogs in the drinks and all that kind of stuff. So everything will be provided with dinner. And it's just a really great time. Last year, we probably had 250, 300 plus people come out and be a part of it. And we're just believing
was
God for greater things.
Was it one of the biggest years last year?
Population-wise, I think it was.
People and coming.
Giving-wise, it was just about as well, too. So we were just really blessed. And it is a fundraiser for the school. But, you know, we really do it more just for the sake of the fellowship and the notoriety and the coming out together and just not the notoriety, the assembly together, I'm sorry, and just coming out and fellowshipping. And yes, you're helping us continue to advance our discipleship and academically training our kids with a biblical worldview. But, you know, it's such a great night. It is so much fun. So please put that on your calendar, October 26th, as well as, again, I probably won't announce this again for a little while. It'll be getting on our app and on our announcements, but December 11th and 12th, December 11th and 12th, Bishop Lance Johnson will be back with us for two nights of revival in December. And so we're just really excited about those two nights. We finally found time that we can get our schedules to collaborate and get in touch with each other. And so we're just praising God and expecting great things those two nights in December 11th and 12th.
Well, I have two things. First, mm-hmm. I'm going to be singing, actually, if you remember Mariah on here, her and I will be singing with Les and Downs and her band at the Alice Theater. I'm excited because I've never actually been in the Alice Theater. I've seen the outside of it. I've just not been inside. So it looks beautiful. If anybody's interested in that, it should be a great night. She's put a lot of work into this. And it's, again, it's the 17th, a week from today. And I believe it... I'll have to find the time. But if you go, you can get the tickets. If anybody needs information about that, you can contact me. If you have my number, you can, if you have any questions, you can call the station. But it's going to be mostly all originals, music. There's just awesome lyrics in these songs, heartfelt songs to the Lord. And so that, again, will be in Litchfield on the square at the Alice Theater a week from today. I think it's around 6 o'clock, but double check that on the Facebook. You can look it up with Les and Downs on the 17th at the Alice Theater. So, and there are tickets available. There's different options you can get. There's ones that include like t-shirts and different things, and then there's just a general one. So there's that. And then also I was gonna say, if anybody, like the interview today was one of our listeners wanted that, to get that together, because they really had a passion for helping at the hospital and they loved that Miss Patty. And so if anybody has, you know, any community involvement, you know, people that you think would be a good guest on here, that you want to hear on here, that you would like to hear them talk as a guest and get the word out about whatever they're doing in the community, or whether it's a minister or a, you know, like a community involvement, a community service type program like Miss Patty, you can let us know and we'll try to do our best to get those guests on here that you all want to hear from. So 270-257-2689. And I got one more request for an announcement real quick. Let's see. Let me ask if this is today. Les and Downs is going to be live on Erskine. We play some of his music sometimes. He's been on here as a guest too. He has a morning show, and she's going to be on there at 9. So I'm asking her, is it this morning? Because I don't have time to look at it. But you should be able to find that she'll be on there as well.
All right. Well, we are excited about what God has in store for the body of Christ and what he's doing. And we couldn't be more excited to be having the opportunity to come on with you every single weekday morning from 7 to 9. And so we are just grateful for that opportunity to teach the Bible, to get that word out, to tell you what's happening in the community. If your church has an event that would like to announce, we are more than happy to get that word out about what God's doing. And we're just excited for everything that the Lord has in store, my friends. And so we're praying many blessings over you guys today, praying for safety, and pray for those who were affected by Milton last night as it hit land. It had, praise God, decreased it had decreased a whole lot. I think by the time it made landfall, there was 100 mile per hour sustained winds, but when it was in the ocean, there was 195 mile per hour sustained wind. So it decreased by more than a half. And so we are just thankful and praise God for that. And just expecting God to do amazing things in North Carolina and South Carolina and Florida and that whole region that has been devastated by these floods and these hurricanes. And just praying against any more hurricanes that may be on the horizon for the people involved. Continue, please, to pray for North Carolina and South Carolina. And if you're able to go down and help, don't hesitate. They are, I don't want to be too graphic, but, I mean, there's one report of a woman who did, the kids are, well, I just want to, it's a report. I can't help it. I just want us to feel the weight of what happened here. So I just give you that advisory. There was a woman who did a report about a hospital that received a call, or a 911 that receives the call. And this guy called in and said, I can't get out of my door. I'm stuck in my house. And they said, well, sir, what's going on? He said, there's so many dead bodies in front of my door, I can't get out. And that was in North Carolina. They said, there's literally bodies blocking my door and I can't get out the door. It is, there's been other reports that
are expecting this death toll to go from 200 and something to maybe possibly even adding a zero or two to the end of that number by the time we actually learn there's bodies.
Is the media finally covering this? Because they weren't.
Some, but there's bodies that's stuck in the mud that they don't even know. First responders are saying they smell the bodies, but they can't find them because of the mud, and they're in the mud. It is just a horrific scene, and it's a horrific thing that's happened in North Carolina, and we need to be praying for the body of Christ. I mean, as the body of Christ, for just God to intervene in a major way.
Yes.
And so we just have to feel the weight of that going on. And again, just because it may not affect us here in Kentucky does not mean that we don't weep with those who weep. So be praying for them and the first responders. We love you guys. We bless you. Have an incredible day. We'll be back tomorrow, 7 a.m. Central Time, here on Mornings of Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network.